Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. In fact, it's hour two. So glad to have you along today. But if you just tuned in, oh my goodness, you missed my first hour conversation with Preston Sprinkle. He co-authored Erasing Hell with Francis Chan, and he is hilarious, and he's funny, and he's a great Bible scholar. And so you mix hilarity and theology together, and it's quite an interesting conversation. We talked about grace, and we laughed every few minutes. So it was powerful. It was good. You'll have to go back and catch the podcast in a little bit. It'll be up on our website, myfaithradio.com. Now we're going to switch gears. We do Artist Corner every once in a while. You know that if you listen often enough, where we highlight artists. We've had Carrie Jobe and Jeremy Camp. Well, today we have Shane and Shane. And I got to tell you, these guys so deeply influenced my son. He's 29 now, but back when he was in high school going into college, their music deeply ministered and inspired Jake. And so I've been watching Shane and Shane, listening to them. I love their music. They've got a new album out called The Worship Initiative. So we're going to play some of the songs off that album, get some of the backstory on the songs, and just have them share what God's doing in their lives these days. So let me tell you about them, and we'll get them on the show. Shane Everett and Shane Bernard have been singing and performing together for over a decade and have a passion for drawing near to God and leading others to do the same. Their songs include Be Near and He is Exalted, which are fantastic. You'll have to listen to those. Go to YouTube or something and find them. You can find their music and story up at their website, shaneandshane.com. Shane and Shane, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good to have you. So we like to start out our conversations talking scripture. We have a purpose for this. So as we have guests on every day, 2 hours every day, and you come with a verse that God's been speaking to you about, it just sort of unpacks the word for our listeners. And you guys chose a passage from Isaiah 57:15. For this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who's contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and revive the heart of the contrite. Talk about why you chose that passage. Either one of you can step up.
Yeah, I just think, I've been bumping into that thing here and there the last few weeks. And, even when I think about the heart of the record and even our first radio single, All the Poor and Powerless, and the song called God of Ages Past, the one we started the record with, it just really kind of goes along that theme of it's such a crazy reality that God says, I choose to dwell in two different places. Mm. And one of those places is the high and holy place, the place in heaven. And the other place I choose to dwell is in the lowly heart, in the contrite spirit. And that is just crazy. And so there's only one play when you read something like that, and it's to say, I want to be in that camp,
Amen.
And what, Lord, what do you need to do? And where am I not seeing some things in my life that could possibly take me out of that camp? And I know that I'm not saved or, loved because of my works, but I know that the Spirit of God within is working in us and working in you, if you're listening today, to put us in that place where we're just low and walking before, we have nothing really to offer but him. And so it's been a really great passage to just chew on. So. Mm,
excellent. And Brother Shane, your other Shane, you want to talk to this at all? Shane Everett.
I agree. I agree with everything he just said.
That's perfect. You know, I got to tell you, first hour we were talking about grace and how we, he led with the verse about boasting in our weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell within us. But we don't always boast of our weakness. We compensate, we medicate, we push it aside, we push it under, and then we put on a facade. And we want so much, I think, even in our most sincere days, want to perform well because we love God, sometimes because we want to look good. But how often we go then to being proud of our performance, where when we've blown it, not that we, you know, we sin more because of grace, but when we've blown it, or when we're aware of our need and we humble ourselves, God draws near to the humble. And so we aren't to be afraid of our weaknesses. And just love for you. I know you both. That's really, I think, been a common thread in your message over the years. But just speak to that, just that idea of, I mean, yes, we want to obey. We respond to God's love. But we rely on him even in our weakness.
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, Paul, in the very end of his life, that he had this crazy statement. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And he opens it up by saying, hey, this is a trustworthy statement. It's deserving of full acceptance, almost like, hey, man, write this one down. I mean, this is going to be, you need to write this one down. And then he follows it up with that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Hmm. And not just to save sinners, he didn't stop there. He said, of whom I am the foremost. Not like I used to be the foremost. I mean, this is Paul. This is Paul right before he dies. This is the last book he wrote, to Timothy's writing those two books together. I mean, so he's been a believer for, you know, 30 plus years. And the last thing he chooses to, one of the last things he chooses to say is that Christ came to die for one kind of person, a sinner. And that's not to say that some are sinners and some aren't. It's just, it goes to say that some see their sin and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who would believe for eternal life. And it just, it blows up my whole, all of my preconceived notions of evangelism and all the things that I grew up with in the youth group of saying, hey, you know, you need to be, just be better, you know, like just be a better person. And just your life will go well with you if you just stop being bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul would say, I am the worst person I know. And God has put his patience on display in me so that people could know Jesus.
Wow.
People could look at my life and say, man, if he can love him, he can love me. I just, all the things you said about boasting in our weakness, and it's so difficult to do that. I mean, we don't like our weaknesses. We don't like the things that we're lacking in. We don't like the places that we're still struggling. But it is, according to Paul, it's a place to stand, to go, if God can love me, then he sure can love you.
Indeed.
If you just call upon his name, he is there for you, knows you. There's nothing hidden from him. And so I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Wow, so good. Talking to Shane and Shane. And I got to say, I've got a nephew. His name is Brody. He's, I think, got a year left of college studying to be a youth minister. And what's so great about your music is you have fans that are people that are my age, which I won't say, but my age. But you've also got these fans of these kids in college, and he's a mighty man of God. He wanted to be in studio to ask you questions, but he's doing this job that's out of town for a month. But I'm thinking of the Brodies, of these young men up and coming. You guys are seasoned ministers of the gospel, and you know what it's like to be a young man in this culture. What advice, if any, do you have for the Brodies of this day who want to be righteous, want to do it right, love God, but are, you know, really in a culture that is anything but godly?
Man, no doubt. Wow. It is so incredibly hard to live in this culture and trust Jesus enough to read his word and obey it. It is so hard to flee any single sort of sexual immorality. I mean, to not even entertain a second of it is just, it's such a radical thing, because our culture has snuck in, and there's so many lines that you know, in our Christian culture, even we're allowed to cross. And if there's any hint of sexual immorality or this or that as a young man, the call to run from it and flee from it, and in that say, Jesus, you are better than that, or you satisfy me more than that. And I would just say, you know, it's easy to it's easy to say as a young man, Jesus is my Savior. I'm a Christian. That's an easy thing to say, to point back at a date and say, man, at this church camp or this time back in my, you know, back in high school or back in junior high or when I first went into college, you know, I became a Christian. And it's easy to say that Jesus is my Savior. But if we actually look at our life, if we actually look at today and we ask the question, okay, who is saving me today? Like, he's my Savior and all for eternity and all of that, but who's saving me today? If you're at a spot where you're struggling with lust or you're struggling with people pleasing, like your God is wanting people to like you, and that's a huge one for dudes. I mean, wanting to be powerful, wanting to be loved, wanting to be liked, and then your functional hell today is I'm not liked. And then your heaven today is I'm liked. And so what's going to get you there is like performing for people and having them compliment you. Is that going to get you from your functional hell to your functional heaven? If you're struggling with sexual immorality, what's going to get you? There's something in you that says, I need this to be happy. So is what's going to get you from that place, what is that place that is dissatisfied to a place that's satisfied? Is it pornography? Is it calling that person you know you shouldn't call or going to that place you shouldn't go or whatever that is? What is going to be your functional savior today? And Jesus says that he's not, it's not just the, okay, one time, you know, the gospel was good and he saved me by grace through faith and all that. No, it's today. Like, he is my everything today. And we sing that a lot. And we say that a lot in worship services and worship songs. You'll hear that almost every other song, that he's my all in all, or he's my treasure, or he's the source of my life. He's the strength of my life. He's my everything. But when it comes down to it, when we're in our closet alone with the Lord, or we just, our eyes open for the first time of the day, and there's something in our heart, which there is, and there will be tomorrow, there'll be places in your heart that go, this isn't right. I'm lonely. I need people to like me. I need some kind of a sexual something to make me feel better about. There's going to be something tomorrow, and Jesus says, I can save you tomorrow. If you look to me and fix your eyes on me, and if we really do believe that it's not by bread alone, but by every single word that comes from his mouth, that's the way that we live, then that's what Jesus did, right? I mean, when he went out to the desert, I mean, it is crazy. It's crazy to me that the Son of God, the one who everything was created through and for, when he gets tempted in the desert, he quotes his own words. He quotes scripture and hangs on to scripture. And it's just crazy. And so, yeah. And so that would be my encouragement to you if you're listening and you're out there struggling, just a really, man, jump into a community of people that can be honest enough to say, are you satisfying yourself with this or that? Or God's created things? Or are you satisfying yourself today with the Creator God? And if you are satisfying yourself with him, and if you're pursuing him, it will just go well for you. God isn't out to be like a killjoy or take our pleasure away. It's a complete opposite of that. I mean, he is offering us life and life to the full.
Powerful stuff. That wasn't just for Brody. That was for all of us. And what are we looking for? In fact, the Bible says the heavens gasp when they see us drinking from cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot satisfy, when we have living water. Talking to Shane and Shane, we've got a few of their new album, a few copies of their new album to give away, the Worship Initiative. When we come back, they're going to tell us some of the stories behind the songs. We'll listen to the music. Love these guys. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Call with your questions or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a really wonderful conversation with Shane and Shane, singer-songwriters Shane Everett, Shane Bernard. Got a new album out, The Worship Initiative, and it represents something even bigger that God's had them doing in discipling other up-and-coming musicians. If you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the show from the beginning, because what they had to say about what we're looking for to satisfy our desires is so significant for each and every one of us. Wondering if you guys would give us some backstory on the song All the Poor and Powerless. And since you both have the same name, you can, either one of you can go first. Go ahead.
We love that song. The backstory for us is probably the same backstory for most people listening. I mean, we just started to hear that song pop up in church and churches and friends, and we love All Sons and Daughters, and we know that you know kind of came from their world, and as soon as we started hearing it around, we loved it and started to lead it in our own churches, and some of that song, I mean, for me, it's back to that Isaiah 57 verse where, you know, I love that song because it's a missional song, that like let's go out and scream it from the mountains, just go out and say that He is God, and let's go find all the poor and powerless and tell them that, man, you are the ones that God is looking for and love. Mm. It has an awesome missional message, but it also for me has an awesome internal message of you know, the desire to be the most poor and powerless, to kind of ask the Lord to help me out with that posture. So I just love that song. I love that concept. Super great song.
And Shane, I think, is it Shane E, the other one? Did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think just what is our, if we really break it down, what is our position in light of a holy God? You know, and whether we are successful financially or not, whether we're liked or not, whether we're the beautiful or we're not, whether we're the secure in our family or we're not, our position in light of a holy God is poor and powerless. Not just to be redeemed, but to even come into the presence of a king like that. And so, by recognizing the grace that's freely given by that God, by that King, that we, like Hebrews says, in Hebrews, we're talking about us being brothers. We're like brothers. We're like in the family of this King, that through the blood, through the shed blood of Christ, that we can become part of that family, heirs to that King. Man, I mean, what's that want to make you do?
Yeah.
You know, we're heralds. We're heralds for that gospel. We're heralds for that truth. We're sons of that coming kingdom. We're daughters of that coming kingdom. And in light of that truth, we have nothing to do but to share the truth of that gospel message. It's powerful.
So powerful. And one of the reasons I love this show, to hear from people like you, to make us pause in our day and remember who it is we're talking to when we pray. Remember who it is we're singing to when we sing. Remember who it is we're loving when we love the unlovable, because this is how our King led. And so we're going to hear Shane and Shane sing All the Poor and Powerless. I just, maybe take off your shoes as you listen. This is holy ground. Love this. Let's listen in.
Come confess and know that you
absolutely powerful. That was Shane and Shane. They're my guest today, and so glad to have you listening in today. They've got a new album out called The Worship Initiative. We'd love if you've got questions for Shane and Shane. Got a couple copies of their album as well. When we come back, we'll hear a few more songs and just hear them share their hearts, the stories behind the songs. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Having a powerful conversation with these guys. Don't go away. More to come in a moment. Tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Really honored to be talking to Shane and Shane today. Singers, songwriters, worship leaders. They're mentors of younger musicians. And I love how their music crosses generational lines, because I first learned about them over 10 years ago from my son, who then was in high school. And I just love these guys. And it's so fun as my young nephew, who's in college, follows them very closely too. They worship from their toes. Nobody harmonizes quite like they do, and they're men of depth. And if you just tuned in, you're going to want to go back and hear what they had to say for that first half hour of this hour. Guys, if you wouldn't mind, talk to me about the song God of Ages Past. I'd love for both of you to speak to it. So how about we go, Shane E., how about you go first?
Hi.
Sorry. Well, are you using one phone and you're passing it back and forth?
We're not the most technically savvy people, yeah, but we are good at handing each other things.
That's so good. You know? And God loves That's you just the way at. You are. So.
Just like, hey, can you pass that? Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
That's perfect. I'll remember next time to figure out who's got the phone and we'll go there. But this is good.
Would it be okay if Shane B spoke to this one first since he wrote that one?
That would be awesome.
So I don't want to step on that one. That's the only one I don't want to step on.
Okay, that sounds good. You go ahead and pass that phone right back to him.
It is a unique song because, this was just a worship record for us. And so, and we'll maybe get into talking about sort of the bigger online project we're working on called the Worship Initiative. And so this record was just a bunch of songs that we love to sing in our church. And so this particular song that we felt like starting the record with was just a prayer that I wrote not too long ago, basically just going, God, if you are who you say you are, then come on and convince me. If you're the God of ages past, if you're the one who created the heavens and the earth, if you're the one who knows the stars by name, the one who knows how many hairs are on my head, if you're my hope, if you're my food, if you're my strength, if you're my everything, then I have a long way to go to believe that. Hmm. And we can, our lives are not, and our lives in Christ are typically not, not defined by our behavior, but more by our belief. And typically our behavior kind of follows our belief. And so, like, Lord, this was actually going into a conference that we were doing, and so we just wanted to have some language for people to be able to sing that was honest, and a big prayer to say, God, if you're my everything, then come and soften this heart of stone and convince me that you're my everything. If you're the one who satisfies my soul, then come soften this heart of stone and convince me that you and you alone satisfy my soul, and that it's worth my time to pursue that. And so, yeah, it's just a prayer. You know, if we really do believe that Jesus is our everything, and that he is all that we need, then life starts to get really fun, because we don't require stuff from people. like we can live and love and lay down our lives with no return. Just like he did.
Amen.
And if that can happen to a heart, if that can happen to a husband or a wife, it just radically changes marriage.
Yeah.
If I can serve and lay down my life, I'm not good at it yet. But if God can convince me enough that he is all that I need, that he truly is my treasure and my sufficiency and my food, and I can lay down my life and serve my wife without expecting something from her, then everything changes for me. I don't need it because I have everything I need in him. I have three daughters, and if I can love them without expecting something in return, everything changes because I don't need anything from them. I have everything I need in Christ. And so, it's a huge reality that if God would just convince these things, we can truly live life to the full.
You know, I'm thinking as you're talking, you both, your questions pack such a punch. And if we never have the guts or the courage to ask those kinds of questions, are you really my everything? It's almost like we're dabbling in the kiddie pool and the ocean is right there. I mean, there's depths of God that we can know, that we can swim in, that we can enjoy. But we've got to dare to ask these kinds of questions. Otherwise, we do what we've always done and get what we've always gotten, you know?
Yeah.
So good.
Totally.
Okay, so let's listen to God of Ages Past.
If my hope is Christ alone, if where you are is where I'm home, if knowing you is my delight, if in God alone I'm satisfied, then won't you come and break this old heart of stone? Start a fire in these broken bones. Here's my soul, it has been exposed to you. Oh God, convince my heart at last. Come tell me of all I had in you. If my bread is your life, your blood poured out. God of ages past, convince my heart at last. Come tell me of all I have in you.
Tell me all I have in you. I think it was Spurgeon who said we can have as much of God as we want. That's Shane and Shane. I want you to think about this for a minute. Your kid's performance doesn't validate your identity, your income, your job, what your house looks like, your neighborhood. Jesus alone. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. You're the temple of the living God, and he's more than enough. So think about what Shane said before this song, that when you start to find all of your hope in Christ, you stop putting your hope in people to the point where you need them to validate you. What freedom. Wow. You guys, I wonder if you would set up the song Scandal of Grace, and whoever's holding the phone at this moment can start. How about that? Just making it easy for you.
Shaney just, well, I tried to give him the phone. He just waved it off.
You're being difficult, E.
He's being difficult. We love this song. This has been, I would say probably our favorite song to lead in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And there's nothing, you know, there's nothing like super crazy off the wall, you know, profound about it, other than it is just a great gospel song. And I think about this song and I'm like, man, I wish this could be on the radio. And I think possibly, you know, it, the very first lyric, "Grace, what have you done? Murdered for me on the cross." And, that just may be hard for Christian radio. And I love the truth of the first line. What in the world is this that you have laid down your life? Jesus said, you don't take my life. I lay my life down and I only do what the Father says. And then, you know, God, the Father, Isaiah 53, hundreds of years before Christ said, you know, I willingly, it is my, one translation says, it's my pleasure to crush him. It's my perfect will to crush him. And so God, did willingly put his son on a cross, so that my wretched heart could be saved and my sin could be washed away and my, all of the things that I have done wrong would land on Jesus and that his perfect record would land on me.
Amazing.
And so, yeah, it's just, you know, and in the bridge of the song, I mean, after you say something like that, you kind of want to say it's too much to make sense of. And that's what the lyric says. It's just, I just feel like it's a super well-written song. It's almost like my daughter wrote it. It's like, this is too much. I can't. And you hear that. You hear David say that. It's too lofty for me. You hear that in the scriptures. It's just, it's too high. I can't even get around it. Can't even comprehend a love like this. My dad, when he came to Christ when he was 65, and just an old John Wayne sort of fella, and the first time he ever prayed, one of the only times he ever prayed out loud, the only thing he said is, "This is too good to be true." Amen.
Oh, I love it.
It's one of the sweetest prayers ever. And so, so we just love this song. Mm. I love the chorus of the song, just that in light of what he's done, to say, I want to be like you. I want to love like you. And you're the hope of my heart. And so, it's just a good one.
Mm, very good. We're going to hear as much of it as we can. It'll take us to our last break. When we come back, we'll try to squeeze in a song or two more from Shane and Shane. Let's listen in.
Great. What have you done? Murdered for me on that cross. Accused in absence of wrong. My sin washed away in your blood. Too much to make sense of it all. I know that your love breaks my fall. Scandal of grace, you died in my place, so my soul will live. Oh, to be like you, to give all I have just to know you. Jesus is
Love, love, love it. Talking to Shane and Shane today. This is off their new album, The Worship Initiative. And we need to take a short break. We're going to hear one last song and hear about what they're doing to disciple other musicians. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I am just loving this time with Shane and Shane. Just a worshipful time, really a spiritual reset, just to pause and to look up. And we've been listening to music off their new album, The Worship Initiative. But there's a bigger thing going on here behind the scenes. I read on your website where you spent years, you know, doing the road thing, and that's exhausting. People don't even know how tiring it can be to go from city to city. And you still travel and you still tour, but you really pulled back so that you could invest in this next generation and musicians. So talk about the Worship Initiative that you're really excited about.
Yeah, we are. We're so excited. God is just by his grace allowed us to walk alongside of young worship leaders and songwriters over the last decade. A lot of the years over the last decade, we had a class at our studio every Monday night for 4 hours. And just got to just walk alongside of the next generation of musicians, songwriters, worship leaders. And it was such an amazing experience. And God just even more so, we've got to do that on the road some as we like travel around and meet with worship bands and all that. But just really started to kind of clarify what he wanted us to do with our next set of years, and that's like leverage anything and everything that God has poured into us and just pour it right back into to that group of people, and you know, just really saw that like the need for Bible training inside of like just the music community, really just to get around this the freedom that we have in Christ. I mean, as musicians, we're just a mess. Musicians are a mess. You know, we're like all emotional and led by our emotions and super artsy, and you know, we totally care about what everybody thinks about us, and was, you know, are you gonna like this song, and are you gonna like me, am I gonna say something wrong? I mean, it's just like almost consumes this art community, and yeah, we're just coming along this coming alongside of worship leaders and going, let's walk together, let's do life together. And so we've created a resource called the Worship Initiative to do that, where we have almost 130 worship songs, and everything that you're already leading. So everything from All the Poor and Powerless and, you know, Oceans, all these kind of newer songs that have come out, to old school ones like Shout to the Lord or Open the Eyes of My Heart or older hymns. And we've just we brought in a band to our studio, and we recorded all of these songs, and we videoed everything, and we made charts for everything, and we've made devotional Bible studies for every song, and we have guitar lessons and vocal lessons and drum lessons and you name it lessons. And so we've been just working on this resource with a team of people for the last 2 years, and so that's what we're doing.
So is that for people in your community, people travel, or is there any kind of online initiative as well?
So sorry for not clarifying that. So it is an online resource.
Oh, great. Wow.
And so the Worship Initiative is exclusively online. And so it's just to clarify more, we are doing some Worship Initiative live conferences. We're starting to do that, and we'll probably do that more and more. In fact, it's probably what we'll end up doing as far as our touring is concerned, is going to places and pouring into people for a little while and then doing a concert at night. But this is, it's just theworshipinitiative.com. It's one of the reasons why we released this last worship record and called it The Worship Initiative, just to point people to a greater resource that they can dive into. It's super affordable. It's super fun. And just a whole world of worship resourcing, whatever you do, if you're a musician or worship leader or songwriter.
All right, theworshipinitiative.com or shaneandshane.com. We're running out of time. Say just a word about Seas of Crimson before we play a portion of it.
Oh, man. You know, this song, Shane's just sitting right here. This was the last song we did, and he tried to convince me to do this song, and I wasn't going to do it. We had heard it off of a, I think it was a New Bethel record, and I didn't see it. And their record is so amazing. It's so creative, and I couldn't hear the song inside of all the amazing production. And I finally gave in and said, let's do it. Let's give it a shot. And then once we started digging into it, it was just like, oh my dear. This is, you know, it's sort of in that same vein of Candle of Grace. I mean, I almost say the same thing about it, that it's just a great gospel song, you know, just rallying around that death is beaten. Christ has risen from the grave. It is finished. It's so hard to believe that it's finished. You know, it's always a temptation to go, it's kind of finished and it might be finished if I do this, 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 and this. It's easy to say that, and to not believe the truth of the gospel that says it is completely finished. And what that does to us is make us look up and say, hallelujah, all glory and honor to you. And so it's a song that just sort of unpacks the gospel well.
Okay, so we're going to play just a portion of it. We're going to take it up to the end. So hang with us. We're going to play a portion of The Seas of Crimson.
For every curse, you're the cure. For every sickness, you're the healer. For every storm, you're the calm. For all that's lost, oh, what a Savior. On the cross of Calvary, every burden has been defeated, and every wretched heart redeemed. You drown our sins in the seas of crimson.
Shane and Shane, thank you for joining us today. I pray you'll come back another time. This music is powerful. Bless you guys for your time today.
Oh, thanks for having us on.
We wish you God's best. Let's listen to the rest of this song going out. Bless your day.